I just finished watching twice a mini-series on the History Channel that was called The World Wars. And one of the major premises of it was that the two wars were not separate, that they were very much related in terms of the First World War and its results sowed the seeds for the Second World War. It showed a scene after World War I where there were children and adults sifting through piles of garbage for food because the economic burden caused by the Versailles Treaty on Germany made the ground ready for World War II by having people not have enough to eat. They didn't have enough. They couldn't even get enough to eat. And all of that economic burden, that want, that hunger, made the ground ready for someone like Hitler to come in and begin to stir the people up, asking for something more and for more power. Hunger, whether it's physical or spiritual, can make us vulnerable to anyone promising a solution. It can make us consider sources of power we never would have considered in times of plenty. And very often, the forces filling those voids are toxic instead of nourishing, destructive rather than salvific, debilitating rather than encouraging. Amaziah, the king in the Old Testament reading today, and Herod, the king in the Gospel reading, saw the emptiness of the society and stepped in to rule through terror. They counted on that emptiness to push people to forget the plumb line. Amos and John the Baptist come in and speak of a return to a transcendent source of sustenance. Amos called that reference point the plumb line. John spoke of it as the coming of the Messiah. These two men were prophets. They were not the people in power. One was a misfit who vaguely frightened people but spoke of the Messiah, and the other was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. They didn't look like much by the standards of the day, but their outspokenness made them a threat to the power structure. The truth is that ultimately, if people believe in the eternal, threats which are effective in the mortal realm no longer frighten us. Amos and John, the prophets, stood to show the people that they were seeking nourishment in garbage rather than in real, lasting food. When we live by God's will, we will turn away from corrupt, ineffective systems of nourishment, and we will become part of God's work of redeeming troubled souls and righting the lost world. As painful as it is to say, too often we modern Christians fail to live a life that honors the plumb line of God's will. Too often we speak of religious faith but neglect the needs of human beings. Our society has become skilled at sifting through the garbage heap, but our skill does not make our find nourishing. We may have even done it so long that we begin to believe that the superficial and the temporal is enough to sustain us. If we allow ourselves to believe that we are nourished by our things, our power, our status, by answering our own needs above all else, then we can easily fall prey to those who preach an evil form of self-interest. We become the children scouring the mounds of garbage for something to fill us. For if we buy into the idea that those things feed us, nothing will ever be enough. We will get busier, but never feel worthwhile. Richer, but never feel as if we have enough. More self-absorbed, but never feel that ourselves are being nurtured. Have more relationships, but too often feel that we have no connection to anyone. When we try to make our own way and to define ourselves through our accomplishments and our things, we have lost the plumb line. We have become so accustomed to consuming garbage that we think we only need more of it. Instead of declaring that we are to be fed by something sustaining, substantial, and eternal. If we only want religion to make us more comfortable, we've lost our awareness of the plumb line, of the message of love and compassion brought by the Messiah, the Christ. Certainly, our faith should comfort us in times of loss or grief or fear, but strong Christian faith should at least occasionally make us uncomfortable. We should be uncomfortable with racism, with lack of access to education, with gridlocked political systems, with marginalization of other human beings, with an economic system which guarantees that the rich get richer while the poor get poorer. Our Christian faith should make us uncomfortable with such conditions. Instead, we generally go along, playing the game and wanting to play it well. But someone has to stand up and say that much of what we're doing does not respect the dignity of all persons. I suspect that no one here today would self-identify as a prophet. We would say something to minimize our importance, like Amos's, "I'm just a dresser of sycamore trees." And we see the enormity of problems in our world, and we feel so overwhelmed we don't speak of those problems. So instead of speaking up, we try to become comfortable with consuming the garbage. How do we return to the plumb line, having it measure us instead of letting the capricious world measure us? We care more about people than we do about viewpoints. We care more about justice for all persons than we do about winning. We listen to others' opinions instead of simply waiting for our turn to yell back. We embrace a bit of discomfort, economic, political, or social, in order to love the other. The American dream has convinced us that individualism and self-promotion are to be envied, that they are to be cultivated and glorified. My American dream is that the Christians of this nation would say no more. That we would say, "I am willing to give up a portion of my rights and my money and my power so that fewer people live in want. I am willing to compromise in politics and economics so that we can get something done. I am willing to give up some of my tradition to bring peace to other human beings, to make it clear that I respect the dignity of every human being. To live as followers of Christ requires being uncomfortable with our system of government, economics, and social justice. I want to have the courage to say, it's time to stop climbing around on the garbage heap. It's time to find nourishment in God. It's time to start creating a society where all can live in dignity. That's what I think, anyway. But then again, I'm not much more than a dresser of sycamore trees. Amen.